Good morning. Today we're going to talk about dyslexia. We're going to remember when Dr. Pat Seckel came in to the studio when we were on the terrestrial radio back in 2010, and also when Bridgeway Academy, which offers online home education. Back then they sponsored us for a while, so we're going to play that spot, even though they didn't pay for it, but it may help people at this time. I understand that this is a big need at this time. So today, dyslexia with local expert Dr. Pat Seckel. This is the Great Shalom Broadcast, and in the studio today, I have Dr. Pat Seckel, who will be talking to us about dyslexia. We are now sponsored in part by Dr. Terry Byme and Dr. Ted Edwards of the Hills Medical Group in Westlake on Bee Caves Road next to the schoolyard. And so you may call in with your questions if you like. If you're in the Austin metro area, the number here is 637-9673 or toll free 1-888-860-WORD. So good morning, Pat Seckel.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
All right. We are so delighted to have you. You are so highly recommended as the go-to gal for dyslexia in our region and actually beyond. I know you've done a lot of traveling recently and you're training teachers all over our nation about dyslexia, and we are so grateful to have you in this area and to have you on the broadcast this morning. So,
I'm really glad to be here.
Yeah, that's wonderful. First off, just tell us, what is dyslexia? I think there's a lot of confusion about it.
Well, there is a misnomer that dyslexia is seeing words backwards, Sharon, and truly that's an old definition. Dyslexia is where people cannot map speech onto print. They have difficult time phonologically or with sounds. They don't understand about how the sound system works. If you've ever heard a foreign language being spoken, the first thing that you have to do is figure out how where the breaks between the words occur. And what dyslexics have a hard time doing is with the sound system, understanding how, for rhyming words, for example, how do words rhyme? They don't understand how words rhyme. They don't understand individual sounds. They don't understand how phonics works. They don't understand how to read words quickly. They don't understand how to hold sounds in their head and be able to map those onto print. So if you ask a word, two greatest predictors of reading success are alphabet recognition and being able to segment words into smaller parts. Like, tell me the sounds that you hear in cat. If you hear an exiting kindergartner saying if you say what sounds are in cat and an exiting kindergartner says meow, purr, and hiss, we got a problem. They should be able to go k-a-t. Because when they read, they have to look at those little squiggles on a page and be able to understand what those squiggles represent, hold those in the correct order, and be able to think in their head that that's a furry little critter that does go purr, meow, and hiss. But also, when a teacher says spell cat, they've got to be able to pull those sounds apart in their head and be able to represent those with three little squiggles and write them down before the teacher gives them the next word to be able to spell.
Right. So it's not just writing letters backwards.
No.
But it's more about all this processing, getting this whole process together.
Exactly.
Okay. And so what should a parent look for? And then tell us a little, so we're very clear now. We've got a child, so many children struggle in learning to read. So what
What are some of the big red flags?
Well, children can be very bright and fail to learn how to read. My background is speech pathology, and we were told that if a child could talk well, they'd be able to read well. Well, we know that's not true. So very bright children can fail to learn to read well. Early childhood signs, even before they learn how to read, can be early indicators that they're going to have difficulty. If they're late talkers, if they have difficulty putting puzzles together. Now, of course, I don't want parents to think, oh, no, this might be my child. But there are some hallmarks, even though dyslexia means difficulty with words, we can't really say that they're dyslexic until they are reading, but we do look for hallmarks before they are learning to read. Like I say, late talkers, children who have a lot of speech problems when they're little, if they have confusion with left and right, if they don't establish dominance with their hands, if they don't like putting puzzles together, as I say, if they have difficulty coloring or they don't like being read to when they're little. When they enter kindergarten, all children should be reading by Christmas of their first grade year, for example. And I don't mean Hemingway or even Danielle Steele, but they should be recognizing words in print. If they're not, then that can be a red flag. Children in second and third grade who, if they're not reading 60 words per minute by Christmas of their second grade year, that's a red flag. When we go to third grade, children who aren't beginning to read to learn, because we expect them to begin to learn to read by second grade, if they're not reading to learn, because even the etymology of words changes by second grade, third grade, and by third grade that goes into the Latin etymology, and pictures disappear, and the syntax of sentences gets more difficult. So if their grades fluctuate over time, if they have spelling errors that can't be accounted for, if they have difficulty remembering assignments, if they're disorganized, these can be hallmarks of dyslexic learners. If they go into middle school and they seem to be confused about directions, they have difficulty learning their locker combinations, and then if they're starting to learn a foreign language in high school or middle school, as if English isn't a foreign language to these mm-hmm. children, certainly then a second language will be a foreign language to them. Mm-hmm. They are being prepped for college, and people will think, by the way, that if they're not discovered as being dyslexic by the time they're in elementary school, then certainly they wouldn't be discovered in high school, Sharon. Well, that's not true, mm-hmm. because dyslexia isn't just something that is either you are or you aren't, but it's on a sliding scale. So some children can sneak by and not be identified until middle or high school or even college or adulthood, mm-hmm. because these are bright children. So in high school, these are children who have been very bright, been taking high-end classes, and then in AP classes, they struggle because they need extended time, or their handwriting is poor, and they have difficulty with the high-end AP classes, and teachers are saying, get them out of here, because they don't spell well. Mm-hmm. Their handwriting is atrocious. They can't remember to turn in assignments. Then they're written, they talk a whole lot, but they write very little. Their written composition is poor. And then they fail to achieve in college. So these are children that we need to watch, and they fail to fulfill their potential in adulthood, too.
Mm-hmm. So we can be talking about very bright children and or students who seem to mask it because they are so bright. And one could be very dyslexic or not. I understand now we know a great deal more than we used to because of brain research.
Absolutely. We know that, well, reading is an unnatural act. We have no part of the brain that is dedicated to reading. It's something that needs to be mapped over parts of our brain. We now, with functional MRIs that are done by Sally Shaywitz and Guinevere Eden and others, that we can see where the normal brain patterns on the reading functions. We know where the abnormal or the beginning readers will function with brain functions with reading. We know that with the right type of reading instruction, we know where that looks. And when we teach them in the way they learn best, with the right type of reading methodologies, with the way that dyslexic readers read, that we can retrain the brain to look more like normal brains, and that these changes are permanent.
So even though dyslexia may be coming in with the child in their brain patterns, we can teach them in a better way, and that change in their brain will be permanent. So this is not something we need to throw up our hands about. There's a lot to be done. So tell us, then, what do we know about? What is the best way to teach these children?
Well, the best way to teach children with dyslexia, individuals with dyslexia, all the way from very little children all the way through adulthood, is to work with them in a systematic way, which means that we don't just find teachable moments, but that we teach them with in a systematic way, which means we don't allow any guesswork for them, that it's very explicit, that we tell them what it is that we're going to tell them, and then we tell them what we told them. Mm-hmm. We understand the language system, and in a systematic manner, we show them from the most regularly used patterns of our language to the least regularly used patterns of our language, and then we teach them in a multi-sensory manner, and this information is cumulative. We don't say, do you remember what I told you yesterday? Because these children don't remember what they had for breakfast, let alone what we told them yesterday. So for an average learner, it takes for two-dimensional print to become secure in their heads, anywhere between 15 to 50 repetitions. For a learning difference student, like a dyslexic child, it takes between 500 to 1,500 repetitions for that same level of automaticity to occur. So we need to build in a lot of success for them, and to a tune of anywhere from 95 to 100% success rate in every lesson for them, which takes a highly skilled individual to be able to do that. So the level of expertise for the teacher, they need to be quite aware of what's going on within the classroom.
Well, great. Let's come back to that, but let's take a break now.
Homeschooling choices can be scary. Can I do it? How do I ensure that I cover everything? Will my child succeed? These are valid questions that every parent who wants to see the best for their child must ask. Dual enrollment at Bridgeway Academy is a win-win for you and your high school student. High school juniors and seniors earn college credits for high school courses while you save on tuition. They'll interact with Christian college professors while completing course requirements online. A jumpstart on college for them and big savings on tuition for you. Find out more at bridgewayacademy.com or call toll-free 1-800-863-1474. That's 1-800-863-1474.
I know you want to get my Dangerous Times Secrets to Victory for Parents and Educators. You need it. It will revolutionize the way you deal with your children or teach your class. I guarantee it. Vital Teaching. 4 CDs in a set, $50. Write me at P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630.
They'll be glad you did.
Oh, death has been defeated and life has been released. No longer are God's people walking in defeat. We're rejoicing in the
Lord. This is the Great Shalom Broadcast. I'm Sharon Sarles, and this morning I have Dr. Pat Seckel, who's telling us about dyslexia. And we just talked about, we do know the best method to teach students who have dyslexia. It's a very structured, multi-sensory, and repetitive method. And of course, that takes some training and some resources to be able to do. So what is the first step that an educator might take? They want to know if this child is dyslexic. Maybe that would be the first step a parent would take. What do you do to find out if this is the child's problem?
If a parent wants to find out that their child is dyslexic, one of the first things they should do is contact their school. This is if their child is in the public education system. We do have a state law which has been on the books since 1985. And contacting the school, I always recommend that the parent put the request into writing so that it is on record for that. And that's for the protection of the child and for the school. that has been a written request. And when they put that into writing, then sometimes a school will see that. And if the child is already in special education, there's no reason to do that, by the way. But if a child's in general education, sometimes the school will say, well, why do you want this? And it shouldn't be a frivolous request to do so. But if the child is, there's parent conferences coming up, so it's a good time to bring that up. If the child's behind in reading, if the child is gifted, and there's questions about that. School districts, we've got to remember that school districts are a sturdy Chevrolet, Sharon, and they're required just to provide an average education. And I don't mean that as a ding to our public ed, that they work with all sorts of children. And so they're just required to provide an average education, which is a C education. And I mean that in all sincerity and love for public ed. But if they don't have to have children make A's. So if you have a gifted child who's making on-level grades, that's okay. But that child could be dyslexic and not exceeding where they should be. So a child who's got a high IQ, who's just making on-level grades in fifth grade, let's say, but should be reading on a seventh or eighth grade level, that's okay by public ed. So if a parent wants to use his or her resources and go outside and have a child tested, then that might be something that's got to happen. But always begin with the public ed system.
Always begin? What if your child is not a student in a public education?
Well, private schools, unless they receive any federal monies, are not required by the public system, are not required to test children. So again, go back to the public school that child would report to and request the child be evaluated for dyslexia. And that would be a screening for dyslexia. Then ask that the results be interpreted. Sometimes the school districts have individuals there that have been given some interpretation information on how to look at the data. If you're not satisfied with that, then you can contact someone like myself or another private individual who can interpret those data for you and see if you would like to have a tutor. And if you're in a private situation, then you would have to seek getting help outside the school, because under Section 504, the Rehabilitation Act of 1973, the public entities of schools are not required to provide help for your student. Only under special education does the public schools have to provide intervention or remediation for your student.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so even if your child is not in public school, if they're in a private school, and of course in the state of Texas, homeschoolers are considered private schools, they may seek an evaluation from the public school. And then if the child qualifies under special ed, there may be some remediation, but if it's only under 504, then the remediation would have to be private.
Correct.
Okay. And this is probably generally true in most states.
Yes, because those are both federal laws.
Federal laws. Okay. Now, what is the first step for a teacher? Perhaps she knows that she has students who may be dyslexic. She would like some more training in how to teach in a more systematic way. Perhaps this teacher is in a private school and has fewer resources. Where might she go?
Well, the Austin area branch of the International Dyslexia Association does have scholarship funding, sometimes the schools may have scholarship funding for them, but the Dyslexia Resources Center, resources with an S, dyslexiaresourcescenter.com, which is our 501c3 organization that I'm executive director of, we do provide education in the summer, and we have a website that you can go to, which we provide a national certification. We're beginning here with the Academic Language Therapy Association. We provide that training in the summer, become an academic language therapist. If you go to altareed.org, there are other organizations in the state of Texas which will provide opportunities for that. The Niehaus Education Center in Houston is where I'm trained through, and I provide basic language skills training. My team and I have been training together for over 15 years, and we provide academic language therapy for that. The state of Texas, as I say, is one of the few states in the nation who has a dyslexia law. We also now have a state licensure law that before 2012, if you are licensed as a or are certified as an academic language therapist, you'll be able to slide right in as licensed as an academic language therapist in the state. Public schools are not required to have an academic language therapist on staff or a licensed therapist on staff. However, school districts who have them will be at a much greater advantage to have those on staff.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's wonderful. So there is a lot of resource out there and a large discussion. We can only get our toe in the water today, but we are so delighted to have you, and we will put those websites on my website, www.greatshalom.org, so people can click through if they want to pursue that. So thank you so much. And we will be right back after thanking our sponsors once again.
Bridgeway Homeschool Academy understands that no two students are alike. And for almost a quarter of a century, they have helped homeschoolers succeed with individualized and flexible homeschooling programs that meet the specific needs of each and every child. If you are homeschooling now or considering taking the first step, give them a call. They will work with you every step of the way to ensure that you're able to provide the best education for your child. Find out more 24/7 at bridgewayacademy.com or call toll-free 1-800-863-1474. That's 1-800-863-1474.
Beloved, I really want to get into your hands. My series called Dangerous Times, Secrets to Victory for Parents and Educators. If you deal with children or youth, or if you teach in any way, in these days, you need this. You need this. It is a 4-CD set that will release you from the fear and the stress that you are increasingly encountering with teaching today. It will revolutionize your practice. It has mine. It is the Word of God. Please get this. It is 4 CDs for $50. Well, I make them by hand. I have to personally send them out to you. $50. However, I'm going to give you a 20% discount this week. So only $40. Write me, give me your address, as well as the check at the Great Shalom Broadcast Ministry, P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. That's P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630.
Oh, death has been defeated and life has been released. No longer are God's people walking in defeat. We're rejoicing in the Lord.
And this is the Great Shalom Broadcast. And as we do every program, let us go to the throne of grace. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you so much for all your love, your concern, your reaching out to us, and your blessing us in so many ways. Thank you that you have called us also to be a blessing. And today, Father, I would just like to bless all the educators who are listening to us. We know that teaching reading is indeed like rocket science. So we ask that you would come alongside them, bless them, encourage them, instruct them, teach them, for you are the great teacher, and help them to teach their charges, their students. They may even be their own children. Bless them. And may the children be blessed with clarity of mind, peace, encouragement, and all the necessary ingredients for success in this life, as well as knowing you and great blessing in the hereafter. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And we speak blessing and health and wholeness, blessing on all my listeners and their families and their students in the name of Jesus. Now, please write me. Tell me what you have received. give us your testimonies at info@greatshalom.org, or you may use regular mail at P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Austin, Texas, here in the great U.S. of A. And if you will go to the website, you'll find that there is an opportunity to comment. There is an educator's blog as well as a way to comment on this particular broadcast. And we would be happy for you to do so and invite you to do so in a civil way. And also, we could get a real prayer party going. If you're a member of Facebook, if you look for Sharon Sarles GSB Prayer Room, there is a place to leave your prayer request or a prayer. And we would just love for you to do that. We are praying for families and children all over the world. My book, God Wants You Healed, is available on that same website. And you're encouraged to go and be encouraged. And if you would like to partner with us, we would just be delighted. Please help us share the blessing, won't you? And our address, again, is P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630. Dr. Seckel, do you have a parting word for us?
Well, I'd just like to say that October is Dyslexia Awareness Month in Texas, declared by Governor Perry, and that the dyslexia is not terminal, and children are twice blessed, and parents should rejoice to have these wonderful thinkers in their families. They think differently, and they are truly blessed to have these children with them.
Great. Wonderful words, and we hope that we can all share the blessing. Next week, we will talk about homeschooling. We'll begin a series about home education, and we invite you to homeschooling. So we invite you to come back and...
Okay, well, we so much appreciated Dr. Pat Seckel for coming into the studio. It was an early Saturday morning. That's what we did back in those days. And we thank also Bridgeway Academy for sponsoring us. And we will do something very quickly here on homeschooling because we understand that's a great need at this time. We've seen a tripling, more than 300% increase in homeschooling in the United States this year. And so we will run a few things on it to be of some help. Please do come to the website and see all of the real help that we can give you. So if you go to www.overcominglearningproblems.org, www.overcomingLearningProblems.org, and of course we're still at greatshalom.org. Please share. Tell your friends. The needs are significant. And not everybody knows that we are here. So please share among your friends and let them know we're here. You can come to the website. You can get the podcast just about anywhere podcasts are hosted. And we're trying to get the word out. We discovered that Great Shalom was not communicative enough. So, overcoming learning problems. We really have an extremely unique outlook because we are full of faith. We are not resigned to a bad outcome. We're going to have a good life for our children. So we construe ourselves as lioness mothers. And if you'd like to run with us, we have a way for you to do that. If you go to the website, you can join at the tribe level or at the pride level. We'd love to have you along. So please come and see. We'd love for you to partner with us. And we'd like to help you. And you will find, it is true, it's just true, that the more you invest, the more you receive. It's just true. So commit yourself to running with us for a while so that you can get the full benefit for your child. And we'll let you come and take what you like. You know, if you just want the scientific portion of that, fine. But you're going to find that the faith portion really helps you grab hold of it. If you just want the faith portion, fine. But I think that you'll find that there will be some practical things that will be of help. They go together. there has never been in reality some sort of divorce or fight between the two, between faith and practicality. Okay, so come to the website overcominglearningproblems.org and join the tribe or join the pride and be a lioness mom with us. Okay, so this is Sharon Sorrells proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children. And we lioness moms, we're going to have it.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sorrells. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come.